All right, before we get the show started, I have to give a huge shout out to a special group of individuals that I like to call my Patreon podcast producers. And you know what? They're all on Instagram, so make sure you give them a follow. Daryl at Your Level Fitness, Caitlin at Caitlin Elise, put three Y's in her name, Crystal at Reduced Fat Mama, Joey at Joey Losing Weight, Vanessa at Vanessa Ray's Journey, and Amanda at Mutz underscore and underscore Miles. These guys are helping this show to move forward in a huge, huge way. And if you want to join this special group of individuals, make sure you stay tuned at the very end of the show for more details. Are you Team Apple? I got to shout out all of you checking out this show right now on an iPhone, iPad, etc. In fact, nearly 70% of you are listening to me on one of these devices. It would mean the world to me if you took a moment to leave a review. This is one of the best things that you can do for this podcast to help get the word out. And while you're at it, leave reviews for some of your other favorite shows. I bet they would really dig it. Amber, hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
You sound loud and clear. I like this. This is off to a wonderful start already.
Well, good. I know tech problems are a lot. There are plenty in the podcasting world.
Well, it all depends on, you know, sometimes that can be operator error, you know, hint, hint, Mr. Perry. Yeah. I like to mess with him.
Yeah.
How's your Monday going so far? I know this is the evil day that everybody hates. How's it going for you?
Good. I got home from work and got the kids situated. They're eating dinner and hopefully we'll get through this without one of them busting down the door.
Oh, well, wonderful. Yes. That would not be what we want, but that's all right. If it happens, it happens. We're just going to flow right with it. What industry are you in as far as work?
So I technically work in compliance in the financial services industry and banking, which sounds really boring, but I review all of the marketing for our bank, be it print, commercial, employee facing, internal use. Anything and everything that you see or hear on the radio for our bank, I have looked at it, touched it, reviewed it. I make sure that we're not going to get sued, that we're not going to face any big fines, and try to avoid any potential disasters with our marketing material. So compliance is boring, but marketing is fun, and I get to do the two of those things together.
That sounds awesome. How long have you been marketing?
So I've only been doing what I'm doing currently for almost four years. It has taken me quite a long time to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. And I've had a lot of detours along the way.
Oh yeah.
And none of them started anywhere near banking or compliance or marketing, but I love my job and I think that I finally have a direction for my life. So that's good.
No, I think that's great. I mean, I just turned 37 in August, and I'll tell you what, there was times for the last couple of years where I was still trying to really figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I can identify with that exactly.
Oh yeah. And it may change. I mean, life is fluid. Anything can happen. I'm 35 and I'm still trying to get it together, but right now I'm very happy. My job is fun and it's challenging and it checks all the boxes for me.
I love that. I think that's great. And being that you do that, being that you deal with marketing, let's see how good of a marketer you will, because now we're going to place the spotlight on you. And so, you know, when you knew you're going to come on the show today and it's all about talking about you, I guess in a couple of sentences, maybe kind of summarize, and we can kind of go into different directions thereafter, but kind of summarize who Amber is and what makes you put that marketing to work.
Well, goodness. Okay. So I don't create the marketing, Gary, but sure.
But you have an eye for it, and there's something to be said for that.
I guess so. So I am born and raised in Kentucky, and I was raised by two hippie parents, and I was a classic case overachiever and overperformer. I had a stage mom, and she pushed me very hard. I spent my youth in gyms and facilities, practicing performing, and I was always on. And then I graduated high school, still being an overachiever and an overperformer. I never knew failure. Yeah. I never really knew disappointment. And then I went to college and I found out that what I thought I wanted to do with my life was not what I wanted to do with my life at all. And I hated my internship and I dropped out of college and I got married because I didn't have anything else going on at the time. But hey, that's worked out because 15 years later, I'm still married to him.
That's awesome.
And we have three beautiful children, but along the way, I, from about 18, 19 years old to where I am now at 35, I feel like I've lived an entire life. I've suffered a lot of loss and disappointment and failure. And, also in that time though, I've experienced a great deal of growth and success and happiness. So, here I am. I'm just a hot mess and generally just trying to make it work, but it's been an adventure to say the least.
Definitely. And I guess it kind of ties into what we were talking about just before, where you're talking about how you still kind of figure out what you want to be when you grow up, so to speak. And then you talk about how you went to college and you hated this internship. So you went in there and you discovered kind of in the process that it was something that you just weren't feeling. I mean, what was it about it that you didn't like?
So I thought that I wanted to be a broadcast journalist. I wanted to be on the news. I wanted to be an anchor person. I wanted to be Katie Couric, and I wanted to be in your living room every single morning. I do still have a love for speaking and for public speaking. But when I got to college, I learned that even though I'd been a performer, we'll say for my youth, I was very much an introvert.
Yeah.
And I could speak, I could read a script and I could speak, but I really struggled with connecting with people and networking, the building of relationships. That's still a struggle for me, but it kind of hit me in the face in college. And I had this internship at a local news station and I kind of saw the ins and outs of the politics and the schmoozing and everything that went on there and how you have to climb the ladder and what you have to do that. And I just crumbled under all of that. And I kind of was like, well, now what do I do with my life? This is what I've wanted to be since I was 9 years old and I can't do it. I don't like it. So I just none of it clicked for me. And instead of being able to pick myself up by my bootstraps, as they say, and get on with it or choose another major, because I had never dealt with disappointment or failure or let down, I just crumbled. I just lost myself for a long time. So I dropped out. I got a full-time job and I just kind of started going through the motions of like working 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, picking up overtime as much as I could and just living that life because I had no idea what to do with myself.
So many directions we can go with this. I feel like you're speaking to my soul right now, because seriously, like what you talked about, where you're talking about, you know, loving to perform, but also being introverted. I struggle with that myself so much. And people are listening right now and they're like, oh, but I, you know, I've heard your podcast and I don't get that at all. And even when I've talked about it, I've always felt like very afraid to come out and talk about it. But when I do, people are like, oh, there's no way, like you're so like natural, or we love your show, or whatever they say. And I appreciate it. But like on the inside, it hurts, because like, I know that I'm very introverted and I do have relationship issues when it comes to, you know, keeping up with everybody. You know, I feel like you take somebody like a Daryl or somebody like that, for instance, I feel like he is like ready made for that. And while I feel like I'm like, you know, I'll be super friendly to anybody that comes my way and happy to talk, I don't typically seek out the conversations all the time because I'm introverted. Not that I don't want to talk, but it's like, okay, am I bothering this person? Like, you know, all those kind of, you know what I mean?
Yes. I avoid happy hours. I avoid any time that I might have to shake a stranger's hand or small talk about the weather. I talked to Daryl about the same thing. I'm not programmed in that way. Now you give me a topic and you let me educate myself on it and become a pro at it, and I can stand up in front of you and I can speak to you and I can speak with you. But that organic relationship building is really hard for me.
Oh yeah. I definitely get it. I think the only where I think I differ with you is like, you talk about avoiding the happy hours and stuff like that. Like I avoid them, but like in my mind, I want to go to these kind of things. But again, there's a thing of, you know, what do these people think about me? And like, am I going to be, you know, like somebody that's going to annoy these type of people? Because I've had history with that when I was younger. Me and my older friends that have been around long enough, we used to joke about it. Like I was the guy that would blow up your phone till I heard from you. And then, you know, it was constantly like wanting to talk to people. So in a way, like when I was younger, like I was Mr. Chatterbox, but like a lot of people were like, dude, like chill out with that. Like you're so annoying, you know, and that kind of stuff. And so like now it's almost kind of like put me in this introverted box that I don't want to come out of. And people are probably like, man, that Gary guy, I never hear from him. What the hell is his deal? He must think I suck or something. It's like, no, I don't know who the hell I'm bothering and who I'm not bothering. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I have friends that still check in with me. Like, have I done something to upset you? I haven't heard from you in so long. Like, is everything okay? And I'm always like, what are you talking about? Everything's great.
Yeah. It's like, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, no, nothing. I don't need to constantly check in with people or talk with people. And I suffer from that same thing though. Sometimes once you get me going, I'm difficult to shut up and I can get like diarrhea of the mouth.
Yeah.
And then I start to feel insecure. Like, am I talking too much? Have I said something wrong? And so it's a double-edged sword for sure.
Well, it's a good thing that you're here with me now, because this is like, talking is what we need to do. So like, I feel like we're going to be doing really well today.
Well, Daryl made me do my first podcast with him and I was a wreck. I was so nervous. And then I went to him and said, I think I can do this again. So
yeah.
I'm getting there.
No, I get it. I that's one of the things I hear a lot from people is like, oh, I'm nervous, or oh, I don't know what to say, or you know, all these things. And it's like, we're already 12 minutes in, you know, and like a near hour or whatever podcast. And it's like, you know, we've already said quite a bit and there's a lot more to say, but it's just like, I think people like that initial shock of, especially like jumping on a phone with somebody that you've really never talked to. I know we had some interaction at the Flying Pig, but like, as far as like just openly having a big conversation, it's a first time. And that can definitely, it's not that people are not interested in it, but maybe they're just like unsure, or you know, have a lot of anxiety about it.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And then circling back, because I don't want to forget, where you talked about, you know, dropping out and kind of going to the 8-hour job and kind of going through the motions, I think is the term you used. And that is something that I think plagues a lot of people. I am somebody who believes that, you know, we should follow our dreams and we should try our best to do whatever we can to get as close to there as possible and not kind of go through the cycle of just quote unquote working for the man and, you know, just kind of, you know, going through the motions, exactly what you said. And I can imagine that that can be like really crushing to your soul.
Sure, sure. Well, I, you know, my whole life had been laid out for me, essentially. I went to high school. I graduated with the 4.0. I graduated with the full ride to college. It was like, if we were going to vote for most likely to succeed in my high school class, my name probably would have gotten written down.
Yeah.
I thought that I had it together, and then I didn't. And I never thought that I would be working, you know, a job that didn't fulfill me. I never thought that I would just be getting up every day and trudging in and trudging out, like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then there I was. And then that was my reality. And then when people would ask me, my parents, my friends, anybody, like, well, what do you want to do? Why don't you go back to school? What do you want to do? I had no idea. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had never had an opportunity to grow any loves or passions beyond what I thought was going to be the broadcasting career of all careers. So,
yeah, I mean, it could definitely be a struggle. It's like you go so far in one direction and it's just like, well, what do I do now? You kind of like hit like a dead end. It's like, all right, well, there's no left or turn, right turn. It's like, oh, well, I guess we just got to turn around and go back until we figure this thing out. I know when I was playing in bands, I skipped out on college to play in bands. And I gave it like 7 years and it just, for whatever reason, various situations. And it's just like, all right, well, when I graduated high school, I told myself I was going to be a rock star. And 7 years later, it ain't happened. So what now?
Yep.
I mean, I met my wife out of the deal. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of, you know, I guess that's a good thing.
That's a winner. Yes. Well, and that's what I say too, is in my being lost in my misdirection, I had this great guy who was like, hey, you want to get married? And I was like, yeah, you know what? I don't have anything else going on right now. That sounds like a great time.
is that when you guys met? He just said, hey, let's just get married. Why not? What the hell?
He told his mom he was going to buy a ring for this girl. And she was like, what girl? Like, yeah, we weren't serious or anything. And we just did it. And
whatever you want to share about it, how did you guys meet and stuff? And like, what point of your life, at what point in time of your life did this come through? Was this, you know, after college, after you realize I, you know, this other dream is not working out? Like, what's the timeline on that?
So we have kind of it's interesting. I met him, I knew him in high school. He's a year older than me.
Yeah.
We were not friends in high school. We don't have any sweet high school sweetheart story. I dropped out of algebra 3 or trigonometry, some math class I was struggling with, and it was going to hurt my GPA too bad if I got a B. So I dropped it and they put me in senior sociology and psychology as a junior. And then alphabetically they set me right in front of him. My last name was a C, his was a D. So I got set in front of this kid. I didn't know who he was. Turns out he was like a big jock, and everyone wanted to be his friend, and also he was an arrogant jerk. And my scene
really
in high school
was
more of my scene in high school was more of the nerdy. I was in speech and drama, and I, you know, was definitely a bookworm. So he would try to talk to me. He would poke me in the neck with pencils.
Oh wow!
He would ask to copy my homework, and I was like, "Gross! Get away from me!" Somewhere along the line, I think it was just because I may have been the only girl to ever reject him. He asked me out, and I said, "You're insane. I'm not going out with you." And he graduated, and he had a friend that was a friend of a friend. I don't know, but he called me drunk one night from a party when I was a senior in high school and asked if he could come over to my house. And I said, sure. It was a Saturday night and it was like 10 o'clock and my parents were in bed. So he came over with my friend of a friend of a friend. And we stayed up all night long talking. And then we just stayed in touch for a long time. And it was kind of like a casual friendship until it was more than that.
Yeah.
And he went off and joined the military. And I said goodbye and good luck because I'm going to college next year and I don't want any part of that. And he came home from the military and I was already out of college and doing not a whole lot with my life. And he was like, military men, they like to get married because they're lonely. And he said, marry me and move to North Carolina. And I said, you got it. Here I come.
So it seems like he kind of came along at a good time, maybe in a way he kind of lifted you up a little bit.
To be honest with you, absolutely, because he has always been the person who has said, you are smart and you are capable and you have all these gifts and you need to keep going. And he's pushed me every step of the way to do something. He's like, I don't care what it is, find it and do it. And he's definitely been that constant force that when I didn't believe in myself, he definitely was there to push me and to support me. And he's great.
That's a great dance partner right there, as they say, the old cliche.
He's not the arrogant jerk anymore at all. So. Well,
it sounds a lot. I mean, like when you're describing it to me early on there, it almost sounded like you were living A Walk to Remember or something, like some kind of like Nicholas Sparks novel or something.
It's so funny that you should say that because that is the first movie we ever watched together.
No
Walk
kidding.
To
Come on.
Yes. And the song from that movie was this. He played that song when he proposed to me because that was the first movie we ever watched together. He ditched a card night with his friends and brought ice cream and a movie over when I was sick. And that's wow. About the time I realized that he wasn't an awful human being anymore.
Well, see, it all ties together. The movie is coming true. Who says movies can't become real?
Yeah, let's just hope I don't die from cancer.
No. Let's not do that.
Wouldn't that be a real bummer? No, I think we're past that. She was real young.
I think we're past that. And that's still cool, though. And it's good when somebody can come at you at a good time. I know for me, Heather came in at a time where I was separated from a previous marriage. And in many ways, she definitely lifted me up. I mean, she, like you said, for your husband did for you, like, you know, always encouraging me. I probably wouldn't have learned how to drive if it wasn't for her. And she's and she's 8 years younger, by the way. I mean, she is. You know, she's 8 years younger, but she's as mature as any older woman and came along, you know, kind of came along at that right time. And maybe that could be said for, you know, any kind of relationship. It's like when they come along and it's magic, maybe it's just it's the right time. But it's especially special on times like yours or mine where it's like we're in kind of a lower place and we're kind of like, you know, searching for something good to happen. And then out comes this miracle that is a new spark, a new relationship.
Sure. Yep. It's wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. And so, obviously, you know, we all come together on Instagram through the weight loss community, the health and fitness world there. So, I mean, I guess logically we should go into that direction as well. And it's like kind of find out, you know, what brings you into that world? You know, when does health, you know, become an issue for you? Is this around maybe this time where you're kind of searching for things, or did you have problems with health previous to that? Or
so, like I said, I grew up, I was an athlete and a performer. I was a competitive of all things baton twirler, but on a super elite level. Like I traveled the world doing it.
Wow.
And I was also a classically trained ballerina, and I danced with the Cincinnati Ballet Academy when I was a kid. And weight was never an issue because it couldn't have been. I was active all the time, every night from the time I left school until 10 o'clock at night. I was at some sort of active practice.
Yeah.
But I ate in the car. I ate lots of 10-piece chicken McNuggets. I had a lot of chocolate shakes. There was no real health in my life as far as food was concerned. Everything was eaten fast and on the run. But it didn't matter because I was probably burning gosh, thousands and thousands of calories a day.
That's what I was going to say. If you're like on an elite level, right? I mean, I would imagine that you're just slashing those calories left and right.
Oh yeah. And then in junior high and high school, I ran cross country on top of that. So I was running 4 days a week. I was having ballet and then I was having baton practice. I was very active. So weight never was a problem for me, never even a thought. I never had a point in my youth when I thought that I never even thought about it. I didn't even know what weight or being heavy or anything was.
Right.
Now I quit doing all of that when I went to college. Obviously, I had a full ride to college for dance that I turned down because I didn't want to go as far away as it would have taken me from home.
Yeah.
So I stayed close and I stopped doing all of those things. I put on just a little bit of weight. What do they call it? The freshman 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did that just with drinking. But then I got married and again, like not a problem at all. I got pregnant right away with my first child. I gained 70 or 80 pounds with that pregnancy and I had a 10-pound baby. But on my tiny little 120-pound frame, that was a lot of weight and that was a lot of baby, but I lost all of it. It fell right off. I know all the women in the world, just wait. My time's coming.
Well, actually, let me jump in just real quick. Cause this is something that I don't know. And this may be helpful to some people, like, you know, from that woman perspective, like what is like average for a woman to gain when they are pregnant? Let's say maybe food is not a problem for them. They're not, you know, let's say quote unquote unhealthy or whatever the hell that means. But like, what is like a normal range of weight that you can expect to gain when you're pregnant?
I think that they say the healthy amount of weight to gain is somewhere in the 30-pound range,
okay,
give or take some pounds.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's going to vary based on your individual size and starting weight.
Sure.
I gained far beyond that with my first. With my second, I gained right at that 30-pound mark. I had a very healthy second pregnancy and delivery. And then at that time that I had delivered my second child, about 5 or 6 months before that, my sister had died. And then I delivered my second daughter, Ava, and then shit hit the fan. So,
wow. Okay. What happens when the shit hits the fan?
I never had time to grieve the loss of my sister because I was pregnant and I had to kind of stay healthy and stay, you know, positive.
Sure.
And keep moving forward because I'm going to have this baby and I have this other toddler that I'm taking care of. Then I delivered her and I got a pretty solid case of postpartum depression. And about 5 months after I had her, I had gotten back into running. I was like, okay, so I'm going to fix all this. I'm going to start running. I'm going to get my mind right. This is going to be great. So I'm training for the Flying Pig Marathon.
Yeah.
And I start having pain like I had never experienced before. I'd had plenty of pulled muscles and strained and torn things. This was pain I had never experienced before. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. It's getting worse to the point that I'm not able to get the gallon of milk out of the fridge to pour my kid a drink. I can't carry the laundry basket up the steps.
Yeah.
My husband's like, you got to go to the doctor. I can't stand to deal with this anymore. Like something's wrong with you. I go to the doctor. They run a bazillion tests on me. I had three doctors tell me that I was a hypochondriac and I just needed to get myself together.
Right.
Finally, they send me to a rheumatologist. They run my blood work there. And she comes in and she says, well, I have good news and I have bad news. And she said, the good news is we know what's wrong with you. The bad news is we know what's wrong with you.
Oh, no.
And she said, so my numbers clearly showed that I had rheumatoid arthritis. The bad part was that she said, I can't believe you've walked in here today because typically people with these numbers are wheelchair bound.
Right.
And she said, I don't know how you're walking. She said, you're going to be in a wheelchair probably within the next year. We don't usually get numbers like this to reverse. We can get them to come up a little bit, but it's going to be a rough road ahead of you. You're going to be in a lot of pain. They put me on chemotherapy high dose steroids. Mm-hmm. I was in and out of the hospital. I had gained, I think, 70 pounds in 3 months. And the weight just kept packing on. And then I was told I couldn't walk for more than to like go to the bathroom or go to my car.
Right.
So no physical activity. Don't raise your heart rate at all. And I lived like that for a long time while we tried to figure out the different drugs and medicines. And I had a lot of side effects. My brain, the best way to describe it is my brain tried to explode at one point.
Yeah.
And I had to have an emergency spinal tap. And I just went through it medically. It was like every month was something else. I went blind for a period of time.
Oh, man.
I was very ill. I was still working full time, but it was rough. And just weight, a lot of weight. And I couldn't move and I couldn't get it off. And I had never learned how to eat healthy because I ate at drive-thrus my whole life.
Right.
So
you're essentially hitting rock bottom there.
Oh, yeah. At one point on the way to work, I would get Chick-fil-A, 4-count chicken minis with a hash brown and a large Coke. I would eat a snack after breakfast. And then at lunch, we would go to Gold Star Chili. I'd get a chili cheese fry with cheese conies with a Mountain Dew and a couple bowls of crackers. Like, this was what every day looked like for me. And I just ate and I ate and I ate. I was feeding my feelings. I was feeding the depression. I was feeding the arthritis. I was feeding all of it. And I lived in that for years. And then I became pregnant accidentally with my third child. They told me I'd never get pregnant again because my uterus had shred apart at one point. And here I was pregnant. And as soon as I got pregnant, I knew something was going on because my pain went away.
Wow.
The pregnancy put my RA into remission.
Let me ask you this before, I'm sorry, before we get like too far into this, like for people that know, what is rheumatoid arthritis? I probably butchered that. What is that? And I guess just give us kind of the brief description on it and what it does to one's body.
Sure. So a lot of people have arthritis and there's general arthritis, and that's when your bones and your joints, you have stiffness, soreness, or swelling.
Right.
Rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune disease that affects your blood, and you have heightened rheumatids, which is a part of your blood, and that causes inflammation, but not just in your bones and joints, throughout your entire body. They've now renamed it to rheumatoid disease because a lot of people thought arthritis, they just thought sore bones and joints. So my specific case affected my entire body, and I had a full x-ray of every bone in my body, and we found that I had started to have about a 50% degeneration in about 90% of my bones and joints throughout my body, so mostly affecting the large ones, my knees, my shoulders, my elbows. But it can mean a lot of things for a lot of people, and it's definitely a spectrum. You can have a very minor to a very major case, but it's chronic pain, and then the medication causes a lot of other issues. My chiropractor at one point said, well, do you want to die from the RA or do you want to die from the meds that fix your RA? Because one of them is going to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. My case was pretty extreme. It came on all of a sudden. Obviously, I was very young. I was 26. The average diagnosis age is in your 60s, I believe. So I was very young to have such an aggressive case. But it's daily chronic pain, and then it causes other issues as far as illness and also mental health, because of the different medications that you're on do affect the fluids to your brain and can affect certain parts of your brain as well. So
it sounds like an absolute mess.
A disaster of a disease. It was awful. It is awful. I do live with it still, but it did go into remission when I got pregnant, spontaneously went into remission.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I didn't ever want to have a third child, but hey, come on. I'll take it because it saved my life for sure. She definitely, that pregnancy saved me, saved my health. It stayed in remission after I had her. I was just kept waiting for the day for the pain to return. And when I went about 9 months to a year and I was still feeling good, I was like, hey, let's get healthy. Let's get moving. Like, maybe I can do this. Maybe I don't have to live this way. Maybe I don't have to be heavy and I don't have to be ill, and I can do it. And that's where it started for me.
Well, at one point were you like, hey, if this stuff comes back, hey, honey, let's have another accident, you know, like what, some surprises. Let's
see them out.
Yeah. Let's see what happens if we keep this ball rolling.
Yeah. No, for real. Wow.
What a hell of a side effect, right? Of having a beautiful child.
Yeah.
That, it inadvertently saves your life. I mean, wow.
Yep.
That is awesome.
And they had told me for years, I had heard that I would not to worry. I would never get pregnant. And if I did get pregnant, I wouldn't be able to keep the baby. My body had so much damage done to it that it just wasn't possible. And so even when I conceived, I went to the doctor and they were like, oh, the chances of you keeping this pregnancy are very, very slim. They prepared me for the miscarriage. And then I delivered a full term, perfectly healthy child 9 months later.
How amazing is that?
Yeah. So, that's where the health journey started for me. And it started small and with baby steps. I tried extreme things at first. I went and got on that weight loss pill, that Attapex drug that you can get prescribed by a doctor.
Oh yeah.
And that caused my lips to turn blue and my circulation to kind of shut down in my body. So they took me off that. I tried cleanses. I did it all, ma'am, before I got to where I am right now. It's been a long, long road.
Well, it can be really tough too, because it's like, you're like, all right, I really want to get healthy. My body's feeling better. I just had this kid and, let's keep this ball rolling. It's like, what can quickly, I'm using that term in air quotes, what can quickly mm-hmm. get me to where I want to be? And I think the fitness industry, they love to hear that. Well, we have all these kind of fly by night operations we can sell to you. And God, you know, when one doesn't work, what the hell? You're just going to buy five more different types until, mm-hmm. you know, until we got every last dollar out of your purse or your wallet. So,
And that desperation that you feel, right? Like, everyone's been there at some point, that just that desperation of like just wanting this one thing and feeling like you can't do it. So this magic thing is going to work for you. It has to.
Yeah.
It has to. Like, so desperate and you just want to believe it and you will fall for anything. At least that was my case. Like, and I get why it's such a multi-billion dollar industry, because people become so desperate and so sad, and they chase that health or that aesthetic or whatever it is that they want. And putting in the work and getting there slowly doesn't seem like an option.
No,
it doesn't feel like that's something that is plausible. I had never had to lose weight in my life. I had never been on a diet. I had never worked out for the sole purpose of burning calories. I had never, never, never done any of that. So it took me a very long time to find a physical activity that I loved and enjoyed and that didn't feel like I was like forcing something. It took a very, very long time because I didn't ever have to do any of that. So I know a lot of people in this community dealt with weight their whole life. And for me, it was the opposite. But it was also like, I also didn't know what the heck I was doing, because weight had been totally the opposite of a concern for me, that I had never considered losing weight. And then when I was faced with having to lose weight, I had no idea what to do or how to do it.
Yeah. And that's really where that's where they want you to come on in. They're like, oh, step right up here. We got something for you. They're almost like carnival barkers in a way, except they'll slide into your DMs nowadays. But no, I can identify with that. I remember when I worked for CVS and we used to get all the as seen on TV stuff. And this when I was young and naive. And they had this belt, this vibrating belt. And they said, literally, yes, if you just sit down and watch television and turn this thing on for an hour, it'll give you the effect as if you had done sit-ups for a full hour. And I'm like, no way. Uh-huh. And I bought the damn thing $50 later. Woo! Nothing happened.
Yeah. I did the hydroxy cut because the girls on TV looked so hot and they were taking it.
I remember that.
And so I did the hydroxy cut. I did the shake weight.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The shake weight. What I'm trying to think of what else was out there. I remember I used to take Stacker 2. That was a thing. That's showing my age.
The, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Carcinia Galoba or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
If they told me that it was going to burn fat and all I had to do was take this pill, I was buying it.
Of course, right? Like we're ready to take anything. And then the next thing you know, you start looking on the internet, and back then the internet was a lot slower than it is now, but you'd get on there and you'd start searching for all this stuff. And, you know, you would be willing to try anything and everything except for, you know, what actually works.
Yeah. And you didn't have DVR, so you had to watch commercials.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Commercials were so believable. They still are, but you had to watch them and it was so believable. I was like, yep, you got me. But once I actually started to relax about it, and I think at one point I even said to my husband, you know what, babe, like, I'm just going to be fat and it's going to be okay. I'm going to be fine. Like, fat is not the worst thing that will have ever happened to me, because I've lost my sister. I've been deathly ill. That's okay. Like, that's really not the worst thing. And once I kind of relaxed about it and I stopped chasing this goal weight and this like returning to my glory body, and I gave up all of that, and I just decided to chase health and like the desire to want to do things like ride bikes with my kids or, you know, walk across a beautiful lake, it started to fall into place.
Yeah, it's a wonderful time when you start to realize, you know, what, you know, it starts falling into place. You start realizing, okay, this is the direction I need to go. And when it starts clicking, it's like, man, it's an instant confidence boost. I mean, it just makes you feel amazing. It makes you feel alive.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And so when you were getting started and it was all starting to click for you, like what kind of workouts were you doing? What kind of diets were you doing? What, you know, kind of where was your head at with that?
So January 2018, I joined a challenge at a local group fitness gym. That's all they do is group fitness classes, Packed House Fitness. I joined a little challenge there, and it was purely a weight loss challenge, but I thought, I'm going to do this. I'd been going to a few classes and I was really enjoying it. I liked it a lot. I stayed in my little back corner. I wore my sweatpants, my oversized t-shirts. I went to my back corner where I felt safe, but I went and I did the workouts and I felt good. I was seeing some results. I joined the challenge and I started Weight Watchers. My work was giving us Weight Watchers for free.
Oh, cool.
So I joined Weight Watchers because I had not done that one yet. And I joined this challenge. I won the challenge. It was 3 months long. I lost, I couldn't even tell you anymore, but I lost the most weight. And I just didn't stop when the challenge was over. I did stop Weight Watchers because I noticed that I was becoming obsessed with counting points and not eating things that seemed innately healthy because they had too many points in them. And it felt very disordered to me.
Right.
So I did drop Weight Watchers and I went to just calorie counting, but I kept with those gym classes. I loved them. I was going at 5 a.m. 3 days a week and then 7 a.m. on Saturdays. It was my lifeline. I made friends. I had a couple girls there that encouraged me to start running again. So I started running with them. More of a, I call it running. It was a lot of walking and jogging.
Nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Yeah, nothing, not a thing. It's actually sometimes even better than running. And it just kept rolling from there. And then I kind of, through a lot of therapy, I'm a big mental health warrior, get your therapy, take care of your mind. I went through a lot of therapy and I lost my obsession to control the food and the macros and the calories. I kind of dropped that off and I learned to trust myself and that sometimes I want a salad and sometimes I want fried pickles and that's okay. And I just have learned a lot along the way, but it was slow and it was long, but it's all brought me here, which here is not, I thought that I had a goal weight. I've given up on a goal weight. I just kind of want to live this like goal life.
And yeah.
If that weight, that magic number never comes, it's okay because I'm super happy and I'm super loving my life and I'm doing all the things that I want to do that I never thought that I would get to do ever again. And here we are, man. I don't work out nearly as much as I was there for a while, but I do get the workouts in a couple times a week, or I at least go for walks, walk my dogs, take a walk around the neighborhood, get some activity in. And generally, I'm just living a more active lifestyle. If I take my kid to cross country practice, I get out of the car and I go for a walk instead of sitting in my car. And I'm doing things like that. And that keeps me in. I guess I've been maintaining. I've been about the same weight within 3 to 6 pounds for a year now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And people ask, like, you know, do you want to lose any more weight? And sometimes I say yes. And sometimes I say no. Like, I don't know. I really like being where I am right now, where it's not my obsession and I don't wake up thinking I got to burn these calories and I got to eat these foods. Like I've kind of let that go. And it's a nice space for me to be in right now for my mental health. And I might decide to get back on that weight loss train. But right now we're just living it.
I think it's just so refreshing to hear because I think for so many, like when you initially start your quote unquote journey on weight loss, it's always a fixation on a number. You know, I want to lose this many pounds or I want to weigh this. And so, you know, a lot of times people eventually get to that number or they don't. But the more important, the more underlining issue is that the mental health will decline, you know, as if you're not reaching that specific number. And people might say, well, gee, Gary, what do you mean? I thought that's the whole point of weight loss and all that stuff. And I think, you know, after doing this for a little over 2 years, I think the bigger purpose is more in line to what you're saying is, if, you know, just trying to live a happy life. So rather than spending every waking hour of your day chasing a number, we should be chasing a better life. And everything else, as Daryl would say, kind of works itself out. Because if you're leading that active lifestyle, but you're not chasing a specific number, you're not constantly moving that damn goalpost back 5 feet every time. You know what I mean? It's just like, if you're chasing a happy life, much like you're saying, I think it's so much better for one's mental health. And that's just my opinion. I know there's people that will listen and they may disagree politely or unpolitely, but I really think, I think I'm more in line with what you're thinking is. And I love that.
Yeah. I don't down what anybody is doing because I have done it. Like I get it. I feel that in a really deep way. Sometimes I still get up and I'm like, oh, to be a size 4 or to, you know, to weigh the 130 pounds. But then I think like, what would I be doing differently? Because I can still go out and run. I ran a half marathon. Like I'm at the weight and at the size that I am, I'm still living my best damn life. And
yes.
And as long as that continues for me, I mean, I might wake up one day and be like, you know what? I want to be in a fitness competition. I want to be in a bikini competition. And then I'll get back to the counting and the weighing. And I know what to do and I know how to do it, but that's not my focus right now. Health is my focus and I want to stay active and I want to continue to eat balanced and eat well, but just taking it slow. I got a whole long life to live. And like I said, for me at this point, like being heavy was not the worst thing that ever happened to me. And if I gain it all back, like it's still not going to be the worst thing that ever happens to me.
Right.
So perspective has definitely been a lot for me.
Yeah. That's what this journey is all about. It's like learning, you know, just constantly learning and learning, like, you know, kind of like where things are going and how you got there. And it just kind of leads you, it sets you up for the best possible version of you.
Yeah. And as a mom, and I'm raising three girls, which is hard to do.
Your poor husband. How's that going to be when they grow up and they got to start dating, right?
Oh God, don't get him started. But I don't ever want them to see me obsessing over my weight or obsessing over what I'm eating. Like I would definitely want to be the example and set the example. And I don't want them to see me getting on a scale every single day. Like I want to raise these girls and I want them to be healthy and be active and love life, but I don't want them to obsess about their weight. I've got one that's about to be a teenager next month and she already comes home telling me she has bigger thighs than the other girls in her class. And I'm like, you're 12.
Yeah.
Nobody has thighs yet.
Well, I think they're in good hands. It sounds like they got a cool laid back mom.
Oh yeah. I don't have time to be worked up about stuff.
It's kind of interesting when, you know, as a parent, I'm not a parent yet, but I can kind of imagine what that's like. It's like when you're younger, when you're growing up and you know how your parents were with you, and most of it's good, but once in a while you remember things and it's like, you know, what you take with you, when you transition into becoming a parent, I can only imagine what that's like.
Oh yeah. Like I said, my mom was more of a stage mom and my dad was more of like this super chill, laid back, like everything's going to be all right kind of dude.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a balance there and I've taken a little bit from both of them and it's a fun ride for sure. For sure. I never thought that I would be a parent and here I am with three of them. So life is funny.
No, that's awesome. And as we kind of transition into the wrap up here, like what do you see for yourself in the next couple of years? Like what are some goals that you have going forward?
So right now maintenance, but physically I do have some like physical goals. I would like to, I think I'm going to do the 10K and the 5K and maybe the 1 mile at the Flying Pig this year in 2020. Cool. I'm not sure my body is ready for another half marathon. I did the one on a run back in November of 2018 and that kind of wrecked me. My body was in an RA flare for about 4 days. So that meant like not doing a lot of getting up or walking and needing help getting dressed. And I'm not sure I'm ready to go back there again.
Right.
I want to take up cycling. I want to get a bike. Caitlin with three Ys.
Yes. Hi, Caitlin.
She got a bike.
Yeah.
Hi, Caitlin. And that bike is the sexiest thing I have seen in a real long time. And I'm like, I'm going to ride a bike.
Sounds like fun.
I haven't ridden a bike other than like my kid's bike around the circle of my street, but I think I want to learn to cycle. I think that looks like a lot of fun. And I've got some hiking goals. I've got my husband on the hiking train and he's going to go with me. And I just want to keep exploring the world and traveling and doing it with my feet and really seeing what's out there. But otherwise, man, the goals stay small and attainable.
I love that. I can get behind that 110% because it's fun to have big dreams, you know, that whole think big and try to execute on that. But really when it comes down to the day to day, keeping your mental health in line, keeping yourself happy, it's all about having the small achievable goals. It's like, okay, these are like five things that I know I can do. I just need to do them. It's almost like a to-do list, bop, 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 bop. And then you just get right through it and your mental health is in line with where you think it should be.
Yep, absolutely. Keep that mind and that body right and everything else will just keep on coming.
Absolutely.
That damn Daryl Perry, he's always in my head.
Well, you see that you're in my head now because this is exactly where I was going to go next as we wrap up here. Talking about the Instagram community, of course, you know, we could not make it through a Gary Cantrell podcast without talking about this amazing community. It is what has brought us together. It is what brought Daryl and I together and so many others. And so I guess as you're in the process of your journey, how does Instagram play into that? How do you get involved in all this madness?
So I come in and out from being super active to moderately active, and then I take a break from that time to time.
Yeah.
I don't love posting on social media. That's not my favorite thing to do.
Right.
But I do sit back quietly and generally watch people's stories and posts. I am a caption reader. I know you're big on your captions.
Yes.
I use the Instagram community to feel a connection to people and to understand where they are right now. And I love to cheer other people on. I love to send them messages of positivity and strength and of hope. And I get that back from so many people. Willie Gillis is my number one cheerleader. He responds to almost everything that I post.
And yeah.
I think it's great the way that people in this little community support one another and encourage one another. The little meetups here and there regionally that people are having. It's just amazing that something like this can come out of Instagram. Like,
isn't that crazy?
People joke about the gram, right?
Like, yes.
I gotta put this on the gram. I gotta hashtag it. But it's like me, introvert me, who struggles to make human connections, has really connected with a great deal of people. And I look forward to getting the messages and responding to the messages. And Daryl even occasionally gets me to send a voice memo.
Daryl gets us to do a lot of things maybe otherwise we wouldn't have done.
He is like the ultimate social media pusher.
Where's the Dietz Diary podcast coming? Is that coming next?
Oh, that will not be coming, Gary. I will never listen back to this. I don't listen to myself talk. I can't stand it.
Fair enough.
But I love this Instagram community. It's if anybody needs a place to feel like they fit in, if you feel like you don't fit in anywhere else, that's how I felt. And now I feel like I fit, and that's really cool. And there's always somebody with a similar goal, somebody who wants to run the same race or eat the same food or do the same thing. Like, you can find somebody who's wanting to do the same thing you're doing, and it's really cool.
Absolutely. And if people were searching through the Instagram, we're going to pretend like they don't see your username in my show notes or the post that I posted about this podcast or the story or whatever. Let's just pretend that people don't pay attention because sometimes they don't. Where would they go to find you on Instagram?
So I am at Dietz Diaries, and that is spelled like diet with a Z, Dietz Diaries, but it is my last name. I know a lot of people thought that it was Dietz Diaries. I promise it's not.
Fantastic. Well, I will be seeing you in May at the Flying Pig. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, I got to use Gary 10, right?
Oh, you guys, this is like the third time this has happened to me on a podcast. I had Valerie, then I had Nikki, and everybody's telling me, hey, you know, like I'm somehow bringing up the Flying Pig and not even looking to plug that. And then my guest of all people say, hey, I got to use code Gary10, right?
Yeah.
Yes, please use that on every registration that you will be making. Please, it goes a long way and helps. Actually, I'll say this very quickly. I do not make a dime. That is the God's to honest truth. But if you think that I don't want these people to look and see my code being used a million times, you're crazy. Yes, I want them to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That we got this code blowing the heck up, man.
Yes. I think I'm going to do 3 races. So.
Well, sweet. There's 3. They send out a newsletter to all the ambassadors, and they've got, I think it's like a top 5 list to show who's up top there. I want to see my name every month there, people. So listen here. All right. Kidding. But yes, we want to do Gary 10 to register for the Flying Pig. The prices going up after Halloween. So get on it now and get to it.
You got it. I'm on it. And I'll see you there.
Hell yeah. Well, it was really great to chat with you. Thank you so much for your time. Time is a very precious thing, and I do appreciate your time here on the podcast. I appreciate any time that you or anybody else spends listening to this podcast, because God only knows we have so many things that we could do during a day. So thank you. Thank you. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Remember at the beginning of the show, I mentioned a little thing called Patreon. Well, I'd love to have you join me. But Gary, what is Patreon? It's a website that is helping small creators like me raise funds to further expand their creative visions. For as low as $1 a month, you can help me further my dream of reaching as many people as possible and eventually taking the show on the road to meet all these fine people face to face and add a video element to this podcast. If you were to donate $4 a month, you'd be hearing this show a few days earlier with no commercials and getting access to my close friends group on Instagram. Donate $10 a month and you get all that plus your name read at the beginning of the show alongside other producers. But act fast, that tier is limited to 10 people. I've got a whole lot more to offer, and you can get all the details over at patreon.com/GaryCantrell. If you made it this far, I really appreciate you. Thanks so much for checking out the show, and I'll talk to you again really soon. HardWorkAlwaysWins.com. It's more than just a clothing line. It's my mantra. I speak it, I wear it, I live it, and I'd love to have you join the Hard Work Squad. We're constantly adding new items to the store, including our brand new future-ish hats, which come in a variety of colors, including camo. I mean, who doesn't like camo? We also just put our famous Splash logo in gold to match our OG logo, and there's so much more here. You just got to check it out. Here's the best part. Use the code PODCAST at checkout to take 10% off of your very first order and join the Hard Work Squad today.